And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Happy Good Friday to not Good Friday technically, but I hope it's a good Friday for all of you. And I hope that you're about to enjoy a great weekend. And God bless each and every one of you. Thank you so much for praying for us, for listening to us, for encouraging us, for calling in. And listen, yesterday I did not have a chance to mention that the president declared yesterday Religious Freedom Day, National Religious Freedom Day, issued a proclamation yesterday, and I wouldn't want the week to go by or to just not have mentioned it at all. And I'm going to come back to a story related to that because I think it's relevant too, that he, once again, while they're impeaching him, he is serving the American people and upholding our rights and doing the things that a president should be doing. But this is the opening of the proclamation. He says, from its opening pages, the story of America has been rooted in the truth that all men and women are endowed with the right to follow their conscience, worship freely, and live in accordance with their convictions. On Religious Freedom Day, we honor the foundational link between freedom and faith in our country and reaffirm our commitment to safeguarding the religious liberty of all Americans. Thank you, Mr. President. He is absolutely right, folks. It is faith in God that is the essential ingredient to having made America the greatest nation that's ever existed in human history. And sadly, we've got a bunch of people in Congress and in the culture who somehow believe that if we can separate ourselves from that rather antiquated, superstitious idea that somehow God is important, and we can dismiss that and become a strictly sick, secularist, yeah, sick is right, a sick, that was a faux pas, but it was an appropriate slip, a sick, secularist, atheist nation, that we'll be so much better off, and nothing could be further from the truth. Folks, that is suicidal. It's suicidal. In a sense, that seems to be the path they're trying to lead this country on, a suicidal path towards self-destruction. And you can see it in the utter moral insanity of the people on the left and the way in which they're appropriating power to themselves that they don't have, lies and propaganda that are completely antithetical to a nation that is founded on the principle we hold these truths to be self-evident. And folks, just utter divisiveness, destructive divisiveness, and an attempt to gain power by overthrowing a duly elected president. It's staggering. It's staggering, folks. But look, the other thing I want to mention, and we're going to get to your calls early today because it is Friday, and you know it's your choice what topic you want to talk about. I've got a couple I want to introduce. That's one of them, by the way. But I want to remind you, too, that we've been on the pre-born 2020 campaign this week, and this is the last day of it, and it's your opportunity to be a hero for the pre-born and for the mother of the pre-born. You can underwrite an ultrasound monthly for $28, or you can do five for $140. And thousands upon thousands of babies have been saved, women counseled, receiving Christ Jesus by the thousands. It's really a tremendously successful ministry, and we're honored to be a partner with them. Now, the ultrasound, of course, allows the mom to hear her baby's heartbeat. And folks, 80% of the time, women who are planning an abortion change their minds when they see that ultrasound. I mean, so it's having the desired effect. There's no question about that. So Preborn is doing a tremendous job, and you can join with them and be a hero for the preborn of this nation, an ambassador for eternal life, for the moms, the dads, the families that are walking into a preborn partner clinic, these crisis pregnancy centers all around the country are benefiting from this. So $28 will provide one woman who is seeking an abortion a free ultrasound. $140 will provide five. And our goal is 2,000 babies, actually 2,500. We've upped the goal because we crossed the 2,000 mark. So 2,500. So any gift at all, even if it's not the $28, any gift at all will make a difference. And you can do that by calling 877-616-2396. Or you can donate at AFR.net. That's 877-616-2396. Or you can donate at AFR.net. And remember, 100% of this donation is going directly to pregnancy centers to provide ultrasounds. This is not one of those situations where, you know, all but 5% of it goes to other things, administration, all that. This is all going to provide an ultrasound. And as I've said before, I wouldn't ask you to do it if I'm not willing. My wife and I have made a donation to buy several of these for these women who are maybe inclined to abort their babies. We want to be a part of helping them to change their minds. So we've done it. I would just encourage you do whatever you can to be a part of this great effort, because it is this, folks, this really is the work of God, because God said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Choose life. And anytime we're choosing life and helping others to do so, as I say at the end of my program, we are on God's side. Now, one other little piece of business I want to mention. It's really not little. Folks, it's really important. We're also a ministry partner with 8 Days of Hope. And we're responding to a disaster in DeSoto County, Mississippi. And we really need your help. You know, they had some extensive damage to their community through 2 tornadoes, an EF1 and an EF2. They destroyed a lot of homes and did a lot of damage in the area. Well, 8 Days of Hope is serving those communities who've lost so much. And they're going to be there from January 16th until January 31st. And so they're serving 2 full weeks. And they might even extend that if needed. Now, look, we're not asking for money here. We're asking primarily for people to volunteer to help, because that's what they really need now. They need volunteers. Now, you got to register at 8daysofhope.com, 8daysofhope.com. You can find all the information that you need there. But here again, the emphasis here is volunteer. So if you live in the area, or even if you don't and you want to be a help, contact them and let them know that you'd like to be a help to all those people who have suffered the loss of so much as a result of 2 tornadoes hitting that area, DeSoto County, destroying homes and doing a great deal of damage. So thanks, folks. Listen, we're Christians. We love everybody. I know that the left doesn't understand it because they don't have the love of God in their hearts, but we love everybody, and we particularly want to be a help to people who are in trouble or have faced these kinds of disasters. We want to do everything we can to reach out a helping hand. So God bless each and every one of you for joining in that process. Now, let's see. In the time I've got left, before I get back to the religious National Religious Liberty Day, you know, there in this debate that we, this debate that we're having with the godless, with people who hate God and hate Christianity, and really because of Christianity's importance in our country, they hate our country too. They hate the Judeo-Christian values of the nation. There are some things, though, that just really get to me, and I'm going to share one of those with you when we come back. Stand by.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Mention celebrity suicides and you immediately think of Robin Williams, Anthony Bourdain, and Kate Spade. Talk about teen suicides and you think of the lost potential of young people. After all, it is the third leading cause of death among 10 to 24-year-olds. Every day, at least 123 Americans die of suicide. It is the 10th leading cause of death in the United States. Depression is one reason, a psychological disorder that affects nearly a fourth of American adults in a given year. And only half of all Americans experiencing an episode of major depression receive treatment. It is also true that more than half of those who commit suicide had no history of mental health problems. Troubled relationships, substance abuse, health issues, and financial woes are some of the other challenges that contribute to suicide. Sociologists document that people are more isolated than ever before. On the other hand, we may be more connected virtually through social media, but that's not the same as face-to-face interaction and friendships. Families, churches, and social groups can provide an answer to the suicide epidemic. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." We should take comfort in that verse, but also be the hands and feet of Jesus to reach out to those who are crushed and brokenhearted. Parents also have an important role to play. Asking your child about suicide does not cause suicidal behavior, but can provide a caring and empathetic conversation that might save his or her life. They should look for warning signs. One study found that 4 out of 5 teen suicides were preceded by clear warning signs. We're living in the midst of a suicide epidemic. That is why each of us should be watching for any cry for help and attention. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
Take Kirby and the Point of View team with you on the go with the Point of View app. Search for Point of View Radio at the Apple or Google Play stores.
This Sanctity of Life Month, we're honoring the preborn and the lives of the over 60 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion. The Ministry of Preborn is the direct competition to Planned Parenthood and the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the country.
And I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
80% of women in crisis choose life after meeting their baby on ultrasound. Would you join with Preborn and AFR today and help save 2,500 babies? One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. Call now, 877-616-2396. That's 877-616-2396. Or visit AFR.net. That's AFR.net. Your love can save a life.
Brian Fisher here. The sham of impeachment has begun. We'll talk about what happens next. Senator McSally says what we wish every elected official would say to the talking snake media. A major network openly admits it's anti-Trump all the time. Lev Parnas says the Democrats' new all-star witness will hear what people on the left think about what he has to say. Next on Focal Point.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And we're back. In this debate that we have on an ongoing basis, a lot of issues come up. There are some things that really, really bother me. And you may feel the same way. And I'll tell you, a story that really bothers me, that always bothers me when our people suffer needlessly because of stupidity on the part of politicians. But this is one that really cries out for solution and consequences to those who are participating in this. I'm talking about this 92-year-old woman, Maria Fuertes, who was murdered, strangled, raped, 92 years old, by this 21-year-old illegal alien from Guyana. Riaz Khan, I think the name is. Riaz Khan. Now, folks, that's not the kicker. It's bad enough. You know, people say, well, illegal aliens don't commit as many crimes as Americans. Well, first of all, there aren't as many of them here, thank God, and there needs to be a whole lot less. There needs to be zero here, frankly, illegal aliens. But they shouldn't be here in the first place for any American to be a victim of their criminality. American citizens have a right to be here. When they commit a crime, they suffer the consequences of that as well they should. But these illegal aliens shouldn't be here at all. Now here's the kicker. This man had been arrested in Queens. Okay? He had been arrested in Queens, apparently, and was released. And the thing is, he was sought by Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Okay? He was never supposed to have been released. They notified New York that they wanted him, that they were looking for him, and they released him anyway. They released him anyway. And as a result, Maria Fuertes, 92 years old, is dead, strangled, and raped. Now look, obviously, any crime against an American ought to bother us all, particularly when it shouldn't be happening, and it's easily preventable, right? It shouldn't be happening. It's easily preventable. But a 92-year-old woman. And see, you know what bothers me about this is it just really incenses me when people who cannot defend themselves are attacked by these predators, these animals, because that's what they are. They're animals. They have descended beneath what it means to be a human being. And when they go out and they hurt the innocent and the defenseless, this 92-year-old Maria Fuertes was in no position to defend herself. And this guy goes out and brutally murders her. Now, here again, the thing is, on November 27th, the New York Police Department arrested this guy and charged him, or he was already charged, with assault and criminal possession of a weapon. ICE agents filed a formal request asking that he be turned over to them. The request was ignored per policies of the mayor, and he was freed and put back into the community to kill Ms. Fuertes. Now, folks, this stuff is just got to stop. It's just got to stop. And, you know, you have to scratch your head, don't you, and ask the question, what would possess a politician, and maybe possessed is the right word, what would possess a politician to release an illegal alien who has already shown a propensity to violence, is wanted by ICE, doesn't belong here, what would possess them to send him back out into the community? I mean, do they want them to kill Americans? I mean, that sounds like a preposterous question, but you can't help but ask it because it doesn't make any sense when you could easily hold that person and get him deported. And instead you send him back out into the community and he kills an innocent 92-year-old woman in the most vicious, vile, brutal fashion. I tell you, folks, it makes me fighting mad. It really does. It really does. Because it didn't have to happen. And if de Blasio would get his head on straight, or maybe I should say his heart on straight, this stuff is easily preventable. But oh, no. He is too lofty and elevated above the rest of us to be concerned about little mundane things like whether innocent elderly people can walk down the street. He's answering to a higher level of morality, you know, making sure that illegal aliens are not mistreated and that even if they're brutal criminals, they can walk freely in America. After all, what kind of person would he be if he didn't have violent illegal immigrants allowed to walk freely in New York? I mean, folks, this stuff has just got to stop. So look, here's my proposal. I mean this as a serious policy proposal. Number one, I think that any sanctuary city or state, or any state, whether they deem themselves sanctuary or not, that denies an ICE petition to have a person turned over to them, and they are aware of that petition and they ignore it and release that person into the streets, and that person harms or kills an American citizen, or anybody for that matter, that city or state should be subject to a civil lawsuit with punitive damages starting at $1 million. A civil lawsuit with punitive damages starting at $1 million, payable to the family of the person who has been murdered or hurt. That's number one. But here's number two, and this is the kicker. I believe that when this stuff happens, anybody who participates knowingly in the release of a criminal alien who's already been charged with violent criminality should themselves be charged with complicity in or aiding, abetting, and abetting in the commission of that crime. So in my view, de Blasio is guilty, and I mean just what I say. De Blasio is guilty of strangling and raping and murdering that woman. That's right, I said it and I mean it. Because if you're going to release violent aliens into the community and they're going to do things like that, and then by the way, de Blasio is unapologetic. In fact, he suggests that what I'm doing, I'm politicizing. Oh, yeah, you're politicizing me. I'm not politicizing anything. I'm dealing with the reality of what's happening and the fact that his policies and the policies of these sanctuary entities, municipalities, states, is directly causing the murder of Americans. And if you're going to directly cause the murder of Americans, it's like somebody tells me that they're going to go out and hurt some people, and I say, well, here's a gun to do it with. Then you know what? I become liable for that crime. I'm guilty of aiding and abetting in the commission of that crime. And as far as I'm concerned, de Blasio just might as well give them the instrumentality by which to go out and do this criminality, do this evil. And I tell you what, we passed some laws that would hold these people criminally liable for what these illegal aliens do when they're released. And we start charging starting at $1 million in punitive damages when somebody is murdered or harmed by an illegal alien who was held in custody and released in spite of ICE's request that person be held for them to pick up. I guarantee you, it starts hitting them in their pocket and starts threatening their freedom. I mean, and de Blasio is the one who got the nerve to lecture about how he tells his son. You remember this, folks? Oh, I tell my son the most dangerous person out there for you, because I guess he's married to a black woman, so his son is black. The most dangerous person, you have to watch out for the police. You remember that? That's what he tells his son, not respect the police, not honor the police, not the police are doing a great job trying to protect innocent citizens. Oh, no. You have to watch the police. But you know what? He doesn't have any warning about watching criminal and violent illegal aliens, does he? Oh, no, because they're the salt of the earth. It's the cops you got to watch out for. Folks, it just makes me angry. We'll be back in a moment.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have. Those are words from the book of Hebrews. One day, 3-year-old Amanda Smith got to visit a local fair in London. She had a really great time. She enjoyed herself so much. The only thing she regretted was that her baby brother, Georgie, wasn't with her at the fair. And after thinking it over for some time and remembering how much the fair meant to her, she decided she wanted Georgie to go. So she took Georgie and set out for the fair. Several hours later, the two were found a half a mile away, cold and hungry, but unhurt. You know, it's a tender story if you will but think about it. A little child found something she liked. She found something worth sharing, and she wanted to share it with her little brother. Because she loved him, she wanted Georgie to have a chance at something which had meant so much to her. And she was determined to make sure that he had a chance to do exactly that. Followers of the Nazarene are like little 3-year-old Amanda. They have found something that means so much to them that they want to share it with those they love. And in order to share it with others, they're willing to sacrifice. Of course, they learned this desire from the one who gave it to them. He was so excited about the good news that he had to share it with those around him. Even when faced with danger and threat of life, he did not cease from sharing what great things he had found with those who were near him. Suppose for a moment that a doctor, having searched for many years for a cure for cancer, suddenly found that cure. Don't you think he would be so excited that he'd want to share that discovery with everyone in the world? And especially with those who have cancer. Think of how much joy and happiness and pleasure it would give that doctor to see cancer patients cured of their illness because of the cure he had found. That, too, is the feeling of those who have discovered the healing power of the Carpenter of Galilee. They have found a cure for the cancer of sin, selfishness, and prejudice, and hatred, and littleness, and all the other things that keep men and women from living the abundant life. The followers of the way have found something which gives their life meaning and purpose and hope. Why shouldn't they want to share it with those who are still searching? Amanda found something that meant so much to her that she wanted to share it with a loved one, Georgie. Any doctor who discovers a cure for cancer and doesn't share it with the world would be called a fool. It's just natural, then, that those who have found the way wish to share it with others. To share our best with another is one of life's greatest privileges.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
And look, folks, it gets worse. I'm going to try to take your calls, by the way, during this segment. The number is 888-589-8840. It is Friday. Any topic you want to bring up is fine. But look, it gets worse because de Blasio is defending this. You know what his defense is? You ready for this? His defense is, well, he wasn't convicted of any crime against an American. Yeah, that's his defense. And he's going to hold to the policy he's engaged in right now because he wasn't convicted of any crime. He was accused of, arrested for, suspected of violent assault and possession of a deadly weapon. I don't know whether the weapon was a gun or not. But since he was an illegal alien and ICE wants him, why wouldn't you prevent the possibility that if he is someone who commits these kinds of crimes, you prevent him from doing it again? Oh, no. So now listen, folks, because this literally is what de Blasio is saying. Just because someone is suspected of being violent as an illegal alien doesn't mean we're going to cooperate with ICE, not at all. However, once they kill you, oh, we'll cooperate with ICE then. Yeah, once they kill you, we will cooperate with ICE. Once they rob you, once they rape you, once they harm you, we'll cooperate with ICE then. And wait a minute, not once they do it, Once they're convicted of doing it, well, then oh yeah, then we'll cooperate with that. Yeah, at that point, absolutely. It won't help you because you're already dead. You're already raped. You're already robbed. You're already harmed. But once they're convicted of having done that, oh, we'll get serious about taking action. I mean, this man is so lost in a fog of moral confusion that I can't find the words to express. I call it moral insanity because that's what it is. It is moral insanity. And somebody said that, I think this is in the article, that in one of the articles Breitbart wrote about this, that they care more about illegal immigrants than they do about American citizens. Well, it's even worse than that. They care about violent, criminal, illegal aliens and don't care anything about law-abiding citizens. And then they're going to accuse the president of politicizing the issue. They politicized the issue when they decided that they were not going to cooperate with ICE under any circumstances. And now we know what the circumstances are. You got to be murdered, raped, robbed, or assaulted. And the illegal alien has to be convicted of that before he will in any way cooperate with ICE in their deportation. Well, thanks a lot, Mr. Mayor. Who voted for this man? And are they going to vote for him again? I mean, it's just beyond the pale. It really is. 888-589-8840. You have to wonder how many more Americans have to die. I understand about 2,000 Americans a year are killed by illegal aliens. How many more have to die before we wake up, before these leftists, I don't think they ever will. Because frankly, like I said, moral insanity is not something you ultimately wake up from. It's something you need to be cured of, or even better, you just need to be removed from any ability to exercise authority and influence and power given your state of confusion. Because the result is, as we've seen, people die because of that confusion, because of that lack of just basic common sense human understanding. Okay, well, look, the president, let me get one more thing and then I'll come right to the lines. 888-589-8840. The president yesterday declared National Religious Liberty Day, and he gave some guidelines for school prayer, basically encouraging students to engage in prayer. Okay? Because as you all know, there's been a lot of persecution of Christians, and their attempts at prayer have all met with lawsuits by the ACLU, denunciations by school administrations. We don't do that here. Violation of separation of church and state, which is nowhere in the Constitution, by the way. Here again, just a phrase used by Thomas Jefferson to the Danbury Baptists to tell them that they would be protected from the encroachment of the state, not that the state should be protected from Christian involvement. And besides that, folks, we are a Judeo-Christian country. And I say, how can it be illegal to acknowledge our legacy? We're not Buddhists. We're not Hindu. And I mean no disrespect to Buddhists and Hindus, but we're not. We're not a Buddhist or Hindu nation. We're not an atheist nation. We're not a Zoroastrian nation. We're a Christian nation. Culturally, that's who we are. How can it be illegal to acknowledge that and to embrace that legacy? Well, it's not. But you got some pinheads who just don't like God, and they hate God. In fact, they hate Christianity. I said before, they hate the country. It's certainly they hate its Judeo-Christian values. Who do you think complained? Who do you think jumped up and said, "Oh, this is terrible. This is terrible. This is the end of the world as we know it. This is going to mean discrimination." Who do you who Just take a guess. Yeah, you guessed. The LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ community. Now, wait a minute. The president didn't say anything about homosexuality. He didn't say anything about gay rights. He didn't say anything. He just talked about the importance of prayer. And right away, the LGBTQ community is at stake and they're being persecuted. You know, here again, folks, these people are so full of hatred of God and Christians that the mere mention of prayer, you to use their word, triggers them. They need to be prayed for, frankly. They need to have all those devils cast out of them. Because that is utterly ridiculous. The president is trying to encourage young people to live out their Christian faith and values, feel free to pray and know that they're not going to be allowed to be persecuted for praying and for public displays of faith and to talk to people about their faith. And the so-called LGBTQ community is up in arms that this is somehow a horrible thing to have happen. 888-589-8840. Anything you want to bring up is on the table. So let's go right to the call, shall we? Let's see. We got Bruce in Virginia. Bruce, welcome.
Yes, E.W. Jackson, thank you for taking my call. A belated happy birthday to you, by the way.
Thank you.
I just wanted to share with you and your listeners maybe perhaps something that's caused some concern for me living in the state of Virginia, that I've never heard of a governor issuing a state of emergency prior to a rally taking place on the Capitol and announcing to the world that the people that are going to be attending this rally are not going to be given adequate means to protect themselves. And therefore, I would suggest as a resident of the state of Virginia that somebody step up and announce that they're going to cancel this event. In light of that concern. Because to me, this has similar aspects of what happened in Charlottesville ahead of like when Governor Terry McAuliffe was the governor. And I'd also like to say to you, Mr. Jackson, that I'd like to issue an apology for not supporting your campaign and prior events, but I would like to encourage maybe perhaps somebody in your position, maybe yourself or someone else, to step up and use this as a catapulting launch for the 2021 election.
Well, wow. But thank you very much for the call, Bruce. I appreciate that. Right now, folks, my plan is to remain behind the microphone of the Awakening here on American Family Radio, but I certainly do encourage others to get involved in running for office. I think that's an important thing for others to do, and I'm glad that I did it. It was a great experience for me. But this is what I intend to do as God gives me strength to do it. In terms of canceling the event, I think the problem is Philip Van Cleef of the Virginia Civil Defense League, I think, has called this rally, but it's lobby day, and people are going to be there from all over the Commonwealth. So it's not really something you can really cancel. We'll be back in a moment.
And she'll say,
John, listen, sweetie, if you could start afresh, would you get married again?
The speed with which you answer that question is as important as the answer itself.
What a question, and what a reflection from comedian John Branion. And he's on today's Focus on the Family Minute with some reasons that God matched him with his wife.
And the truth is, after 21 years, the answer to that question is yes. I would marry the exact same girl again. Because what I've learned over these years is that the two of us together are somehow better than the sum of the individual parts. And she is so many things I could never be. And I'm so many things that she doesn't want to be.
It's important to find the humor in your marriage. And take time today to thank God and your spouse for your relationship. Hear more from John Branion at FamilyMinute.org.
Thank you. Congratulations! Chick-fil-A has responded favorably to a letter from AFA and more than 116,000 supporters who signed our petition. Company CEO Dan Cathy says Chick-fil-A inadvertently discredited several outstanding organizations when they changed their charitable giving last November. The restaurant stopped giving to some Christian organizations in favor of groups with a more worldly viewpoint. While their response is encouraging, we hope Chick-fil-A does not stray any further from their godly values.
Today's culture is opting for entertainment rather than biblical enlightenment. For those who resist that trend, Friends of Israel shows listeners why loving the Jewish people and supporting Israel is important to the Christian faith. Friends of Israel shares biblical truth about Israel and the Messiah and promotes solidarity with the Jewish people.
This is Chris Katulka of the Friends of Israel Today radio program, heard each weekend on this station, and here's what's happening in Israel.
Friends of Israel, Saturday afternoon at 2, here on American Family Radio.
Here is some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare. It's the affordable alternative to health insurance, and it's worked beautifully for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and over the years, members have shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is about $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. You're not stuck with a high-cost health plan. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. Here's the number to find out more, and there's no pressure. They are super easy to talk to. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
On the President's Proclamation of National Religious Liberty Day and the new guidelines for school children particularly, Americans United for Separation of Church and State CEO Rachel Laser said the following, quote, "These rules undermine the civil rights and religious freedom of millions of our most vulnerable Americans who rely on social services, with particularly dire consequences for LGBTQ people and religious minorities." Well, of course, I mean, you know, you start praying, boy, that the consequences are dire for LGBTQ people. Prayer, just, oh, that creates dire consequences. What? The only person for whom prayer creates dire consequences is the devil. And what it means is his plans get exploded, you know? So I don't, maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's the problem. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Tony in North Carolina. Tony, welcome. Tony, you're on.
Hello, Bishop. I want to thank you for taking my call, and I'll be as quick as I can. I told the screener, hey, man, you're right on it. Agree with everything. And you made a statement a few days ago that, and if people would think about it, I wish more people would look at it the way you do. If I remember correctly, you said, I'm thankful to be here. No matter how my ancestors got here, I'm thankful to be here today. We live in the greatest land on the planet, and we should be thankful for that.
Amen. That's exactly what I said, because that's exactly what I believe.
Amen, brother. And I'll let you go and catch some more callers.
All right. Thank you so much for the call, Tony. Appreciate that. Let's go to Joe in Texas. Joe, welcome. Joe, you're on.
Yes, I was just calling to, I'd called before, under U.S. Code Title 18, Section 1324, deals with anyone aiding illegals in this country. And that's federal law passed by Congress. And I haven't gotten any response from my congressman on this issue. Is why haven't they arrested people for this?
Listen, Joe, I'm aware of it. I'm aware of that law. You are absolutely right. There's no reason whatsoever why people should not be arrested and prosecuted for that. But I think basically the left has just got so much control over the apparatus of government, through the deep state, George Soros buying off prosecutors and all of that, that the laws they don't like, they just don't pay any attention to them. And somebody's got to step up and say, there's a reason why that law exists. It's to protect the American people from exactly what we're seeing happen right now. So, Joe, I will be raising that with some of the congressional people I know myself, and I would encourage our listeners. It's Title 18, Code Section 1324. Ask your congressman, hey, why isn't this being implemented? Why isn't it being prosecuted? Okay, let's go to, I think that's Jeanette in Louisiana. Jeanette, welcome.
Hello, Bishop. I'm so happy to talk to you again. Quick thing before you answer, and I'm going to hang up. I think the L, whatever those initial people are, they don't want to hear prayer because that's conviction. And a baby is life before it begins in the womb, because the Word of God said, I knew you before you were born in the womb. And let me hang up and hear your comment. Love you.
Hey, love you too, Janet. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. And look, you're right. I make a little fun of it, yeah, because they say dire consequences as a result of prayer. What dire consequences? When did prayer ever hurt anybody or bring dire consequences on anybody? It just goes to show how spiritually degenerate they have become, that prayer itself is a threat. And nobody's mentioned anything about homosexuality, just praying. And you know what? Let me just take a moment. I'm going to come right back to the phones, but let me just take a moment to say this. You know, we pray about all kinds of things, and I don't think they understand Christianity. In fact, I know they don't understand Christianity, but we pray about our health. We pray about our finances. We just praise God and just love on Him and worship Him and adore Him. And we pray for our children, and we pray for our jobs, and we pray. Sometimes we pray for people that we don't even know. When there's a disaster that happens somewhere, we're praying for people to come through it. When we hear about someone passing away or some tragedy, we're praying for the family. We may not even know them. You know, they think prayer is all about them, that our hope. Let's pray. Yes, what are we going to pray about? Well, of course, there's only one thing to pray about. We got to pray about the LGBTQ community. You know, it's like, you know, you want to say, get over yourselves, you know, because it is ultimately not about you. You know, there's a song that says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. They don't realize sometimes we Christians are praying about our own faults and shortcomings, and saying, Lord, help me to be a better Christian. Help me to more conform myself to your will. Forgive me if I've messed up or said something or done something that I know I shouldn't have done. But you would think prayer is all about the LGBTQ community, because you start praying and there's going to be dire consequences. Like I said, only one who's going to suffer dire consequences as a result of our prayer is the devil. And maybe the people associated with him feel the same way. So thank you for the call. Let's go to... let's go to Leonard in Alabama. Leonard, welcome.
Hello.
Yes, Leonard, you're on.
Hi, Bishop. Thank you for taking my call. I've been listening to you, to your outrage about the 92-year-old woman who was raped and murdered by the illegal alien. And I remember reading about this a couple of weeks ago, and I was as outraged as you are. And I agree with your solution that the public officials who allow the illegals to be released on the public ought to be responsible. But I think in order to do that, we need Congress to pass a law that says that they will be held liable if that happens. And in the current political environment, I don't see that happening. I think the Democratic Party, since it has control of the House, will never allow that. So I think the Republican Party is going to have to make this an issue in this election if we're going to be able to pass laws to deal with this problem.
Wow. Well, look, Leonard, you are absolutely right. I hope they will make it an issue. And you are also right. Not only the Democrats are not going to support something like that,
I think they would support just the opposite. I mean, I think they would support doing something to help the illegal immigrant who commits the crime, because that just seems to be their orientation. Not to helping Americans. Let's help the illegal immigrants. Let's go to Jason in Oklahoma. Jason, welcome. Oops. Jason?
Oops. Yes. Hey, I got a quick question.
Go right ahead.
Referring to Trump's speech and his reference to prayer in school and public places. 50, 75 years ago, whenever we would pray in a public place, it was usually to the God of heaven, as Christians look at it. Today, if we don't be careful and we just mention prayer, not Christian prayer, and we're going to get all kinds of prayers into public places and public school. Just like it was several months ago, the Muslims, they had a big deal where they come into the schools and they were forcing the kids to pray Muslim prayers. And we want to be careful and that our amendment rights aren't over, you know, just
overridden by those who are using it to bring in a different tradition. Jason, thanks for the call. Look, I agree with you. That's why I say we are a Judeo-Christian culture. We are a Christian culture, and that should not be punishable. That should be affirmed and embraced as the reality of who we are. We're not Muslims. We're not Buddhists. We're not Hindus. But here again, those people live in our country. I understand that. It is their country, too, and I understand that. But that's not the predominant nature of our culture. And I don't see why we have to deny that in order to satisfy these weird leftist views of the Constitution of the United States. Because when the Founding Fathers talked about our Creator, they were talking about the God of the Bible, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm tired of apologizing, and I agree with you that that's why we don't want the officials prescribing prayer, but what we don't want is prayer being outlawed, which is sadly what is happening in many places right now. So, Jason, thank you for the call. And let me say, I may have gotten this a little twisted up here, but let's go to Dave in Ohio. Dave, welcome.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm blessed, Dave.
I'm blessed, too. And I'll tell you why I'm blessed, and I encourage everybody to take a good listen and look at the YouTube videos that recently put up about the Stand for Truth and Liberty conference back in June, July of last year. Awesome work, bro. Awesome.
Thank you.
Secondly, thank you. And secondly, you know, as Christians, we hold dual citizenship. We are citizens of heaven, and yes, we should pray, absolutely important, move heaven and earth. Secondly, we are citizens of the United States, and it is incumbent upon us to take our citizenship responsibility seriously and get out into the public marketplace with ideas that work, with ideas that bring life and liberty, see, and actually vote.
Amen. Dave, look, you are absolutely right. I don't know where you saw that Stand conference video, but that was a joint conference put on by Andrew Womack and myself and Stand. And folks, I'm sure you can see it on the Andrew Womack website. I don't think we posted it on ours yet, but by all means, check it out. It was a wonderful conference. Well, look, I hope that you all enjoy your weekend. And yeah, I get angry about some of this stuff, but folks, listen, I'm angry, but sin not, right? Because there is a godly anger that is just and right. But that's because we are angry over the injustice, not hateful of people. So listen, God bless each and every one of you. Remember, we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.